We want to thank the church for the wonderful accommodations that you afforded us and for the people who took the girls to their homes and took care of the girls. We appreciate that so very, very much. And the lovely prophet's chamber over here just makes you feel good knowing that you care. And we appreciate our home is pretty much a 350 Ford van on wheels for most of the summer, and so it's great to be able to relax a little bit. It's good to see the folks from Kobiak here. Our girls were up there last week as counselors and cooks and cleaners or whatever they did. I don't know, they did a little of everything, but our church had rented Kobiak. We rented the whole camp for the week, and a couple other churches came in, but that's a great place up there. By all means, so thanks a lot. I'm reading from Hebrews chapter 3. Would you take your Bible there? And I want to read a few verses of Scripture here. And then I'll just give you what the Lord has laid on my heart. I learned a long time ago that just to prepare sermons really falls short sometimes of what God wants us to do. And I believe God can lay things on your heart that, and that probably would be the thing that would be most important this morning. Then just give you a prepared sermon. An unsaved man could do that. You know, prepare a sermon, prepare a Sunday school class. And so I'm very sensitive to be trying to do what the Lord wants us to do and stay in the will of God as far as the many times that we get the chance to preach every week. I preach more than my son does, and he preaches a lot, but so I'm trying to be sensitive that this is a very, very important time. So in Hebrews chapter number 3, I'm reading from starting with verse number 7. The Bible says in verse number 7, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today," emphasize that those words there, "today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath," obviously God has a temper, gets mad once in a while also, he says, "So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief." It must be that the Holy Spirit indicates here and in many other places in the Bible that unbelief, just not believing in God, not believing in the things of God, certainly displeases our Heavenly Father. Unbelief, and we're all guilty of it, okay? In one fashion or another, one time or another. An evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation." The provocation is simply that time in history gone by when God's people really provoked him. And that obviously can happen. The Lord has laid upon my heart to bring you just a little message here this morning, and I've entitled this message, "Someday There Will Be No Tomorrow." Now think about that, sort of sobering. Someday there will be no tomorrow. I recall 2 or 3 or 4 years ago, whatever it was, and I'm a little bit sensitive to that because we have a group of, we have two tour groups out on the road this year. And I remember a few short years ago that down in near Haines City, Florida, when an entire tour group was wiped out by an accident from Crown College. And then what happened more recently, one of the young ladies was from our town, what happened to the Taylor University group down in Indiana, where the semi sliced that van in two and five young people died almost instantly. 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, up near the church where I was, where I had pastored for 30 years up in Jackson, there was a carload of young people. 4 o'clock in the morning, just down the road from our church, they'd had a party. They decided they wanted to have a party, young people. So they decided to do some drinking, they decided to get involved with some drugs. And one of those young ladies in the car didn't live very far from our church. And about 4 o'clock in the morning, they were going down Maple Grove Road, the road turned, and they just went on straight right into a tree. And three of the occupants of the car were expelled from the car, killed instantly. One of them was a girl who lived close by our church. Only one person lived in that accident a couple weeks ago. The police came to the parents' house, you know, an hour or two after the accident. They came to, I know exactly where the house is. The police came to the door of the house and knocked on the door. And the mother came to the door, and the police said, you know, we've got some bad news for you. Your daughter has died in an accident this morning. And the mother said, well, you know, you must be mistaken, because my daughter is in her room sleeping in bed. And the police said, I would go check if I were you. The mother went and checked. And the daughter had snuck out of the house during the night and joined this crowd in this party and was killed in an accident 4 o'clock in the morning a couple weeks ago. Think about that. You must be mistaken. My daughter's in bed. She goes and checks, and the daughter was not in bed. Young people, that's not the way to live your life. And that young lady with two of those young men in that car never would see a tomorrow. That's sort of a sobering thought when you get to thinking about it. Someday there will be no tomorrow. I'm standing behind this pulpit today, and this may be the final time I ever stand behind a pulpit. Maybe the final time that these girls will ever sing. Someday there will be no tomorrow. That is exactly what this scripture that we read is talking about. Three or four different things mentioned in this portion of scripture indicates how we can get in trouble without even thinking about it. It speaks about our heart becoming hardened through unbelief. You know, all of us in our great churches across America, where they are soul-winning churches like this church and like our church and like many other churches, like our churches, we believe in soul-winning. We believe the fair ministry. What a tremendous ministry the fair ministry is. We have a fair ministry, the Otsego County Fair, and what a ministry that is. And people ought to just be lined up to be able to be in a situation where hundreds of thousands of people are going to come together that week, and to take that opportunity and to redeem the time because the days are evil. What a great ministry it is. We all believe in being people being saved, but let me just say this to you. If it is ever right to be saved, and we're not going to argue that point, if it is ever right to be saved, then you ought to be saved today. Amen. If it's wrong to be saved, then wait till tomorrow. But if it is indeed right to be saved, you need to be saved today. No one, including you and me, no one has a right to go on in sin. We do not have that right. And we have no right trying to defend or our delay in accepting Christ or to postpone salvation to a more convenient time. We do not have that right. The Holy Spirit indicates here today. Today, there may not be a tomorrow. Today, someday, there will be no tomorrow. So this is a very, very important, sobering thought. To delay the acceptance of Christ is no different than being like a murderer who continues to murder, a robber who continues to rob, an adulterer who continues to commit adultery. There's no difference. We have no right ever delaying something that we ought to do. I feel very bad about that accident. One of the men in our church was a faithful deacon in the church, a great friend of mine, stood by our church, stood by me, was a great encourager. He was a city policeman in Jackson for years, retired from the police force in Jackson. And one of his hobbies was, they had a little garden. I mean, the little garden was no larger than this platform. It was beautiful. He prized his little garden. He had to borrow a little piece of land across the road so he could, and they would allow him to have a little garden every year. And a couple of years ago, got up in the morning like anybody else does and went over to work in his garden. And all of a sudden, he knew something was wrong, and he fell to the ground. And he was able to say to somebody who was coming down the road and stopped, and he said to these people, "I need an ambulance." We never made it to the hospital. His today was the final day. There was no tomorrow. I missed him. When I would be at the church working, he would always come by, and he would have his hand folded like this and shake my hands, and there would be a $20 bill. He's always a great encourager and never would go by the church, and he was always a great helper in our church. But I loved to cut grass, and I loved to do the lawn work in the church, and he would always come by. And because of that, we miss him dearly. But, you know, someday there will be no tomorrow. And when they took him to the hospital, there was no tomorrow. I know that there's a tomorrow for the people of God. I'm glad that Jesus is coming back. But as far as this life is concerned, someday there will be no tomorrow. And so if it is ever right to be saved, you ought to be saved today. Let me just say, secondly, you ought to be saved today because the Holy Spirit calls you today. Do you know what? When you come to church Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, whatever it is, can't you tell as the preacher is preaching and he's pouring out his heart and he's giving you the Word of God? Are there not times when you feel that the very Holy Spirit of God is saying something to you? And as you listen to the words of the preacher, it's as though the Holy Spirit is going, listen to him. He's saying something you need to hear. And the thing about it is, the Holy Spirit is right there, prodding and pushing and indicating to people. In other words, the Holy Spirit would be saying, you know, I've never been any closer to you than I am today. I'm trying to say something to you. And you need to listen. You know, in other words, if the Holy Spirit would say, if you ought to be saved today, you ought to be saved because the Holy Spirit is talking to you today. You say, well, what about next week? Will you be here next week? Will I be here next week? We don't know that for sure. The Holy Ghost saith, today, says the Scriptures. Then the rest of the statement follows, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart. You see, this scripture indicates that when the Holy Spirit speaks to us and we do not listen, something changes in your heart at that moment. Your heart becomes hardened. Now, all of us today have a hardened heart to some degree. Now, we need to be careful that it doesn't continue to harden. And so every time the Holy Spirit speaks to you and you won't obey, it is more difficult, and it becomes more difficult from that point on for you ever to get saved. Why? Because you are allowing your heart to be hardened against God, against the church, and pretty soon you're going to just start taking things for granted. Pretty soon you're going to say, you know, it's just church. And all of a sudden you realize, without even realizing it, that you are in possession of a heart that is getting harder by the day. That's why people, when you come to church and things are not right, maybe you are a child of God, you ought to make things right every time you come to church. You say, well, I get sort of tired and embarrassing every time there's an invitation to go to the altar. Why? Who cares what people think? It is more important to be right with God, first of all, than to be right with people. I wonder how many people are in our churches today who will not make a decision because of pride. What will my neighbor think? What will my family think? Who cares? I mean, this thing is important. It's a matter of life and death. When you say no to the Holy Spirit of God, your heart becomes hardened according to this scripture. Let me say, thirdly, the danger of a hardened heart makes it urgent to be saved today. Because, as I just said, from that day forward, it becomes more difficult because you're allowing your heart to become a heart that's a rejecting heart to the things of God. I tell you, it's serious. It's very, very serious. Let me say another point here. The fact that Jesus is coming one of these days soon makes it urgent to be saved today. How about those young people? They'll never have another chance. Every indication was they was lost as lost can be. I got the report yesterday that even at the funeral home in Jackson, there was a fist fight because of the gang that they all belonged to. Is that what you want? I don't think so. People turn away and get involved in these young people were involved in some strange little cultist thing that they had changed their dress and they changed their look, they changed their belief, and today those three young people are out in eternity, and their chance of ever being right with God's gone. Isn't that kind of serious? Someday there will be no tomorrow. There will be no tomorrow. Jesus is coming back. The Lord said, therefore be also ready. Ready for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. You know, I'm going to do my best protecting these young ladies behind the wheel of our van. But I don't know what the other guy's going to do. Coming down here yesterday, we were on, I think you call it 127 south of Jackson, that death strip down through there. I saw this big semi coming, and all of a sudden I got to thinking about that group in Crown. This big semi was barreling down, just a yellow paint line between me and this semi. I thought, you know, as he was coming, I says, wow. I mean, you know, as he passed, the van just, you know, the wind of the semi. And I tried to relive what happened two or three or four years ago down in Florida when that semi hit that van head on. And it was described in the paper, it looked like an airplane wreck. How quick. I thought, you know, all that truck has to do is just get over just a little bit, and it's over. It'll be over for me, over for my wife sitting back here. It'll be over for these six girls, and it'll be tragedy. I mean, I'm just trying to say to you this morning, Jesus said, be ready. Be ready for in such an hour as you think not. The Son of Man cometh. We're going to be going to Sandusky, and then tomorrow we're leaving for Connecticut. I hope we make it. I want to make it. But we may not make it. So I'm glad to know that I can testify this morning behind this pulpit that I know Jesus is my Savior. Amen. These girls all are saved. We want to go on living. We want to go back to college this fall. But we may not. Someday there will be no tomorrow. Jesus is coming back. The uncertainty of life, the certainty of death, presses upon sensible people the wisdom of being saved today. Death is certain, life is uncertain. If a person's got any sense at all, they'll make the most out of our opportunities today. Today. James writes and says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away." I just want to be ready to meet him, don't you? Amen. And so, say, what do you have to do to be ready to meet him? Get saved. Let me say finally, and this is very serious, the mounting wrath of God on all Christ-rejecting sinners implies that you be saved today. Let me repeat that. The mounting wrath of God on all Christ-rejecting sinners implies you be saved today. The Bible says here that we read today, "So I swear, in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest." God was grieved because these people would not believe him. And they went through, after he had delivered them out of the bondage of Egypt, they needed water, and he gave them water. They needed food. He gave them food. He was with them. He took care of them. He led them, cloud by day, fire by night. And yet, they would walk away from him. And people say, "I think that's terrible." But how about us? Let's not blame them. Let's just look in the mirror and look at ourselves. God was grieved at that wicked generation of Jews in the wilderness who could not hear the voice of God. "So I swear," God says, "in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest." God says, the Lord, Hebrews 3:11. And this wrath of God on everyone is on everyone who delays not only salvation, but delays just getting right with God. Did you wake up this morning, honestly, truly, did you wake up this morning right with God? I'll tell you what, it's pretty easy. We're so used to this thing. We're so used to church. We're so used to service. We're so used to doing what we always do. It's pretty easy to lose sight of the fact that we may not be right with God today. And God's not pleased with us. He wants our. He looks into our hearts. He notices our hearts here. Harden not your hearts. The subject of this passage of Scripture is our hearts also. Hardened hearts. And if we're not careful, we can serve God just day after day after day, not right with God. And the peace of God that should be in our hearts, that keeps our souls and keeps our hearts and souls and experiencing the peace of God is not there. Why? Because of pride. I'll take care of it. I'm not going to do it Sunday morning, crying out loud. I'm not going to do it in front of a Sunday morning crowd. So I'll wait till Sunday night. But what's going to happen Sunday night? Will you do it then? It's a terrible thing to be in possession today of a heart that is being hardened because we're rejecting God in our hearts and lives. Someday, beloved, there will be no tomorrow. What are you going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? Someday, there will be no tomorrow. I say then, we must make the best of today. Amen. Let's bow for prayer.